I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for kickoffs and kick-ons.
G'day and nay.
Yes, to all you Equus Carolabalus fans out there, 'tis the day of the Brumby. That's right, those mighty men from the middle of the ACT, they gave it to those Hurricanes and they finally defeated those windy Wellingtonians, put them on the boat home. Let's hear a hurrah for the Brumbies, everybody.
Hurrah.
Hurrah. Hurrah.
We're pretty pumped in here. Well, three out of the four of us are very excited for the Brumbies beating the Hurricanes. Obviously, Swoop, you were probably death riding them the whole time, were you?
100%. Why it worked.
Reverse.
He did have the Hurricanes in his multi.
Did you have the Hurricanes? Mate,
so did you.
I didn't have a multi on, I don't bet.
So, Australian rugby is on the way up. It is a real thing. It's tangible. You can smell it. It's leaving a wonderful salty taste in our mouths. And this is the show that is going to walk you all the way through it. The Coco Show. Welcome. Let me bring these lads in. Let's introduce them. First of all, a man who, after a couple of beers, often sounds hoarse. It's Drew Mitchell. Next, it's a man who, as we all know, is an absolute workhorse. It's Matt Kiddo. And finally,
hey. A
man who loves horses. It's Adam. Sorry. Let me read that again. A man who loves horses. Horses. It's sorry, mate. Adam Ashley Cooper.
Giddy up.
Mate, it's just a spelling mistake.
Yeah, no worries.
How are you all? Who wants to go first? Swoop?
Yeah, good. Really good. Thanks, Prof. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Spent a lot of it on the couch watching some footy, which is nice. Obviously, kids during the day, footy at night. I got to see Drew too.
I helped him babysit his own kids.
Yeah.
You need help. I know,
mate,
what you're
don't
doing.
You?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you, Gitz, how are you over in America, mate?
Good. Touchdown this afternoon. Yeah, just eyeballs hanging in by a thread, but I'm happy to be here.
What time have we got you over there? What's the time in San Diego?
It's 9:40 p.m.
Okay. All right, we'll make this a long one, guys. Let's go.
Yeah, we'll really drag it out for him.
2 hours now. Hey, I want to talk to you quickly.
Oh, I'm fine.
Oh, this is why I'm...
Biv,
how are you?
Oh, good. I'm good. Also, a bit of a quiet weekend. Well, it started really in Anzac Day, right?
Yeah, of
course. Bit of a long weekend over here in Oz. Got up for the dawn service and punched out a solid 14 hours on the couch watching some sport. Friday, a little bit of work, a few inspections at a pub. Work/beers. And then Saturday, just... helped him babysit, then watched some more sport. I was at home Friday night. I went home, ordered some Domino's, two large pizzas, woke up, only two slices left.
Oh. Like,
I'm a pig.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two slices. And
how did you not remember that you'd knocked that many off?
Well, because I had two different pizza boxes. And, you know, you just sort of keep going back to it and you just think I thought there was more on the other one. And then woke up in the morning to obviously heat it up for breakfast and there's only two in there. I was like, geez.
What sort of crust you got?
You remember?
Classic.
Remember when we were at yours, Drew, and we'd already had dinner, and then we're sitting there, and then there's like a knock on the door. I thought we were getting broken into, but you'd ordered more pizza.
Yeah, that's because you gave me a suck on one of those vapes you have.
Go away.
Hey, the other reason I wanted to talk to you, now, a couple of weeks ago, we rolled out something on this show. And then later in the edit, you gave us a call and you said, look, can we pull that? Now, we've apparently been given permission to now show it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So basically, obviously, the Coco with Coco that we did a few weeks ago, the story about Busta Rhymes and I having a bit of a Paul Kent moment, having a bit of a melee. A friend of ours, good friend of the pod, he actually has done the openers, Hugo from Flight Facilities. He was playing at Coachella and was in the artist area at the back before he went up on stage and ran into my good mate Busta Rhymes.
Well, this is how it rolled out 2 weeks ago, so you know I'm telling the truth. Have a look.
Yo, Drew, what's up, man? Where the fuck you at, Drew? What you doing over there, Drew? You're supposed to be with us, Drew. Drew, what the fuck did you do? The reason why you're not here, you must have did something that wasn't cool. But I'm going to tell you, do that shit the cool way and get your ass over here, Drew. I want to see you, Drew.
Hey, be careful what you wish for, Buster.
Oh, he's, like you said, he's a big noter so yeah. far away.
Oh, mate. When he's got the Escalade, all the boys around, or 13,000 miles between us.
Yeah.
Seems like you guys are pretty sweet now, though.
One of his boys.
So, what a great chain he's got.
Who, Buster
yeah. yeah. Big, thick gold
iced
thing.
Out.
Do you want to say anything back?
Oh, just fucking bring it, mate.
This is good, man. So there you go, mate.
Yeah.
So last week it was Simon Ralui you were breaking bread with, and this week, are you and Buster okay, or what's happening?
Well, here? I don't know. He said he wanted to see me.
Drew, you reckon you still got him?
Mate, it depends on sort of the state I'm in. If I've had a couple under my belt, I'd probably back myself.
Like Paul Kent. You're such a Paul Kent.
I used to sit next to Kenty at work.
Did you?
Yeah.
No one's sitting next to him at work at the moment.
No, not at the moment. God, no. Hey, merchandise plug, who wants to do it this week? I've got Goit here. Can you give us a little sale on the shirts there, mate?
Would love to. Actually, Alex Corbacero, where I'm staying, he's after one for the big boys. So I believe the big boys' size are sold out.
They are. Yeah,
we've
sorry.
We've still got yep. all the sizes.
Yeah, the big fuckers, we sold them all.
Whatever size is left, just go on www.budgiesmuggler.com.au/thecoco show. Is that right?
I think so. Did he nail that then, everybody? Yeah. Oh, Tommy's giving me a nod here. Goit, well done, mate.
Yeah.
People are sending in pictures of themselves wearing the shirt. This gentleman is from South Africa. He's wearing it. His wife's name's Megan Lorna, and she's put it up, and they've copied us in. He's just in the middle of fucking nowhere, by the looks of things, wearing his Schmidt and him, but that's a South African gent,
I love doing that stuff over in South Africa, going out and being in the nature and seeing the animals.
Well, he's doing it in our shirt. So that's wonderful. Send in your picks. Right, socials. Drew, your turn, big guy.
Oh, yeah?
Where can they find us?
Oh, Kickoffs and Kick-Ons on all your social platforms except OF. And Kickoffs and Kick-Ons on YouTube.
Mate, there you go. It's very good.
What's OF about, Drew?
It's OnlyFans, where people show a little bit more than they'd like to on other platforms. So... yeah, people get their minge out and all that sort of stuff.
Is that, was Joe Marler doing his feet on OnlyFans?
It was. Yeah. Mm. I mean, actually, OnlyFans go into sport as well to give like behind-the-scenes footage. It's not just for the...
We need to start an OnlyFans page.
A little behind-the-scenes OnlyFans with the rug.
Oh, shit, yeah, that's a great idea. That might make some money. Hey, Social Snitches, wonderful segment. Another week off for you, Ben.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. But I've had so much anxiety about it today.
Pop this one up here, Tommy. This is a great shot. You just need to
watch. Whoa.
Goit, Swoop, this was sent in from a Susie from Santa Monica. If you're listening to the pod, Swoop, can you describe what you and Goit are wearing there?
Wearing a little Gillies cheerleader outfit. So we went to LA to play for the LA Giltinis, and obviously owned by Adam Gilchrist, which is... It was a cocktail.
Previously owned.
You're right. Previously owned. And these were the outfits that our cheerleaders would wear, pre-show, halftime, with the bonbons, all the support in the world. And we thought, you know what, for our league fits, which we do once a month, we'd take a couple of those outfits and we'd wear them ourselves.
Fantastic. And you're circumcised. That's great to see.
You're welcome, yeah.
Can see the helmet. Full helmet there.
All helmet, yeah.
I can't see Goit's there, unfortunately. What's that bike you got there, Goit?
Super 73. That's what we used to cruise around in. When we were just along the Strand, me and Swoop. That was actually our grand final week. So we went big for League Fits.
Yeah. Well, not that big.
You did?
Certainly did.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you've got anything like this that you want to send in, kickoffs, kick-ons, just send it to us and we'll pop it up. What a segment.
Thanks,
that,
Susie. Yeah.
Deserves a bloody sponsor, that
it
one.
It does, yeah.
We'll get there eventually. Ollie.
Prof,
yeah,
can I
yes,
just come in quickly?
Yeah.
Do you filter them out? Is there any of you?
Oh, like, no one's been work? Sending in any of me, actually. I don't think there's... So you guys have been in the media spotlight for how many years? 20?
Oh,
I mean, how old were you, Goit, when you played? You were like 14, weren't you?
Yeah, 14 and a half, yeah.
14 and a half. So there's so many of you three out there.
Have you had to say, like, look, we can't put that up? Has any come through that...
Tommy, has any come through that been a bit distasteful?
Yeah, a gentleman sent one of...
There has been one sent of you, Biv, I believe, that that was unsavoury on a night out.
It wasn't rude,
Tommy's saying, but we were protecting you, basically.
Yeah, I feel like we should maybe... not ask for anyone to open the slather and just send in anything.
That's a good point. Yeah. We'll just Google image, shall we, Tommy? That's an easy way to do it. Hey, another segment that deserves a sponsor is this rugby roundup segment where we go through the superb rugby.
Oh, yeah.
The guy that's doing the sponsorship, our producer, Ollie, we should probably do a shout out to him.
Yeah.
Ollie's currently in a hospital. He went to the Drua Moana game.
Over in Fiji.
He's completely broken his ankle or something, and he's currently lying in bed very sick with something. So they're trying to work out what it
potentially
is.
Potentially meningitis.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it. Just in case. Well, in case it's not it or it is.
Well, that's why I said potentially.
Yeah, I think we're all right there. Yeah. Hey.
But we do hope he's well.
Yeah, and get back to work. Soon. Yes, I hope you're doing well, Ollie. What are the chances of him watching this? Probably zero.
Oh no, mate. If he's in there for a long time, he's going to watch it tomorrow night.
Yeah, true. All right. Good on you. Get back very soon. Hey, let's start with Crusaders Rebels 39 blot. Who watched this one, boys? Who wants to chat through it? Obviously, the Rebels didn't do very well. Is that what you'd say?
Yeah. This was probably pretty disappointing. It was fourth place Rebels against 12th place Crusaders. Crusaders haven't been great all year. We kind of know because of their history that they've always got it in them, but just the fashion in which they were able to dominate the Rebels, especially at set piece, like the Rebels scrum got dominated. And then they made some subs, Daniela and the other guys came on, went okay for a bit, but then just penalised a little bit more, and then Gibbon came back on. Like, it was just...
Well, he replaced the front three just after half-time, I think. You don't often see that, do you, that they would... Just before halftime, have you ever seen the whole front three get replaced like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened, you know, a couple of times. Up in the Northern Hemisphere, often they'll replace the starting front row, and then, you know, amazingly, with the turn of events of the game, they come back on when the game's in the balance at 10 to go. So maybe it's a little bit more tactical. But obviously the first, the starting scrum wasn't going well. They're under an immense amount of pressure. Joe Moody, Franks, like these guys were just putting them through the rinser.
Hey, Gits, with that, the Crusaders, they jump from last to ninth, which, as we all know, eight teams make it into the finals. Is there a chance for these Crusaders to make their way up and win again?
Well, I think there's always a chance. I thought that score flattered the way the Crusaders played. I didn't think they had a lot of opportunities. I thought the first 20 minutes, they were very dominant. It looked like they were really going to blow them away. And play more impressively. I don't know, it just seems at the moment, I think it's almost, it looks like they're trying really hard, you know, when you're up against it and you're in one of those seasons where things just aren't clicking, but you've got a good squad and you're just trying to make it work. It seems like that's where they're at the moment. So the score, while it was 39-0 and they'd be happy to get that win and move up closer to the finals. Yeah, I mean, I think they'll... Potentially, they still have the opportunity to make the finals, but I just don't think they've got the same dominance and the same impact that they've shown in previous seasons to actually go on with it.
All right, there you go. Hey, you would have watched Chiefs Waratahs, didn't you? Chiefs 38, defeat of the Waratahs 22. They were out in front, the Waratahs, 12-0.
Yeah, tell you what, it was an impressive start. Like, it's probably some of the best football I've seen, particularly that first 26 minutes. And I say the first 26 because after that there was a stoppage in play and there was a bit of a momentum shift where because the Waratahs had the majority of the ball and the possession in the first in that first 25 minutes, but the intensity of that game that both teams brought was world class.
Yes,
what, you know, intensity of a team that would go through to win a championship, and you could see, you know, like Semi Penny Finau rushing out of the line and just putting blokes
a lot of
on their back.
That shot, like that shot's fine.
That shot was fair.
He's right on the cusp, but that's fine.
Tane got up, had a good laugh about it, but. You know, but then also the Waratahs, particularly the forwards responding, were putting their hand up and carrying really well, like good, tough, aggressive carries. It was some really good football. It's just a shame that, well, not a shame, it was just tough to watch where the momentum went back to the Chiefs and the Waratahs just couldn't work the shift, couldn't work it out. But, like, I thought it was a good performance. I thought the score didn't really reflect the tightness of the game, but there was a lot of positives to take out, particularly for the Tahs. No doubt they'll be a little bit disappointed with that because probably affects their season. They've still got the Brumbies and the Canes in the next two games, and they need points to secure a top eight spot.
Sitting in 11th at the moment. Couple of good signs, though. The hooker, Julian Heaven, he played well. And then our favourite high pants man, Lockie Swinton, played the house down again, got another try.
Yeah, Lockie's playing really well. I've been really impressed with just, like what Swoop said, just the intensity he's bringing both in attack and defence. But I think he's also, you know, on top of his discipline stuff this year as well. Like he's playing out the games. He's having big impacts. He's doing some good work in the lineup. You know, the hooker's going really well. He's doing some good stuff around the field. There's a couple of shaky moments in the lineup, but like you iron that, if he irons that out, then he's, you know, he's for after losing Parecki, you're thinking, okay, who else is there? And then he's still stood up and made a big impact. And it's got to be said, I mean, the Waratahs, I think, have got 8 props out at the moment. You know, there's a fellow on the weekend from Sydney Uni, started for Sydney Uni second grade in the grand final last year and debuted for the Waratahs. Like, that's not to say that, you know, he doesn't deserve that, because he absolutely does if he's there. But they're struggling a little bit in terms of, on the injury front and in the forward pack of the Waratahs.
I know they lost on the weekend, but their last two games, the way how accurate they've been, the balls were sticking, they've been quite efficient at set piece. Like, they're playing a really good brand of rugby. I really like the Science. If they can maintain that type of accuracy leading forward, they will secure a top eight, and I think they'll do really well. In particular, Jake Gordon's, he had a cracker, absolute cracker. I mean, didn't score any tries or anything, but of note, but his timing, his speed to the ball, accuracy of his pass, he led those boys around really well on the weekend.
But it also has to be said, whilst we're sitting here talking about how well the Waratahs went, the Chiefs did bloody well.
Yeah.
Like, they're a good side, and they're going to go real deep and be hard to beat.
Gets Damien McKenzie, that cutout ball he threw for the Narrowa try. It was about, I'm going to say, 70 metres. Have you ever thrown a ball that long, cutting out about 8 people?
Well, no, considering I reckon the width of a field's usually 65 to 68.
Right, is it? Okay.
So I've not thrown that. But no, I mean, he makes such a big difference. I think Drew touched on it. Could have been 2 weeks ago when we were in Hong Kong. He was talking about the difference between when Damien McKenzie plays and when he doesn't. Like, the stats obviously speak for themselves. The team grow. They play with a lot more confidence. And I think having someone like Damien McKenzie that can threaten the line as a ball runner first just sits everyone in their heels defensively. So he's just got a lot more time with the ball. And then in turn, you know, the other great players around him can then grow as well.
Let's move on to the Drua, 24 defeated Moana 17. Amazing spectacle as always up there. Great game, lots of colour. Ollie was there. Maybe
he was
streaking.
Going to do the wrap up for that one, but he's knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
What? Don't.
Oh, just in case.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Sorry.
But I did, I watched it. I think Swoop watched it as well, because this was in his multi that he sent through to us.
Did you get, because we won a bit of money on Moana, if you remember, down at Super Round when they came through for us right at the death. Did you pick the draw?
I picked the draw, yeah. But I took the line. And they only won by 7.
Oh, so right, I
the
see.
The line was 12.5. And I thought, you know, we started watching that game while Drew was helping me babysit. And the sun was out. Mm. You know, they started well.
Good conditions.
I was thinking, this is it. We're going to schmidt this in.
Rabutan Munda. Geez, he's in some form this year.
Mm. But anyway,
is it babysitting when it's your own kids? Do you call it babysitting or just looking after
your
kids?
That's a great question.
Do you ever say you're babysitting your kids? Gits?
No, I'd probably say like I'm on daddy duties or I'm being a dad. I don't know what Swoop's on about.
Were there children there that weren't your children?
No, they weren't, but it's babysitting. I don't know, no idea what I'm doing.
Hence why I was there.
Do you know?
Just
more
so
about
two of us
then?
Didn't know what we're doing. We had company.
God, what time did you let the kids go to bed?
No, it was a daytime thing, right? And my youngest went down for her halftime nap.
Okay.
Half day nap, and then
my
eldest, we got in front of the TV to watch a little bit of National Geographic.
Yeah, Animal Planet.
Animal Planet, i.e. the horses at Rose Hill.
And we're getting him to go up and press point at which number we're betting on. He got three in a row.
He got three in a row.
Wow.
Yeah, you're right.
This is... Yeah, that's great. Does your wife watch this?
Babysitting.
It's generational.
Oh, well, that's great. Hey, Brumbies 27, they defeated the Hurricanes 19. I reckon we hold that one over because we've got a special guest about to join us, which is Noah Lolasio. Mm. Shall we just hold on
we'll
that?
Park
it. Kits, I'm sure you've got plenty to say on that. Big win for the Brumbies, go Australian Rugby Union. And we'll see what Noah has to say on it. Let's go. Highlanders 7 defeated the Force 6. You know, good old arm wrestle there. Not a lot of points scored. Only one try. Did you catch that one, Biff?
Yeah, we watched this one. I went down to the pub and watched this one. And look, it was actually pretty open. I'd left the kids by then. It was actually pretty open to sort of a game, even though the scoreline didn't suggest that. Like, both teams scrambled well. They had opportunities. Neither of them really took those opportunities. I would imagine playing in it would have felt like a pretty frustrating game because there were opportunities out there. They weren't capitalising on both sides. But both sides, you know, brought some intensity. And, you know, after the Highlanders were held scoreless against the Reds the week before, and the Force obviously had their win the week before, I don't know. It was probably more a game of not wanting to lose and not, you know, no one is out there trying to win. Gotcha. I wouldn't suggest they weren't trying to win. It was more probably just a defensive game more than anything.
Yeah,
I think.
Which they're not so bad sometimes.
Yeah,
a bit of a
it was a good contest.
Tussle.
Yeah, it was a good contest.
Lots of handling errors, Swoop.
There was. Yeah, it was a scrap. I mean, I think the questions around that game were the Force going to be able to back up off the, you know, the great win the week before against the Crusaders? Was there going to be some type of emotional hangover from that? Then obviously the travel to Otago is always tough, particularly off on a short turnaround, all the way from WA as well.
What's the flight time, guys? Gits, when you were flying
you got to consider the stopover.
Yeah, 7 hours.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, so what they did, they flew from Perth to Sydney on Tuesday, arrived quite late in the evening, stayed the night in Sydney out at the airport in one of the hotels there, and then went early morning Wednesday. So, you know, effectively you got two travel days in a week. Mm.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
And then your body clock would be right out, wouldn't it? 6 hours difference. Mm. So when they're playing at night, it feels like it's 11 a.m.
Sounds like we're creating excuses on behalf of the Force. But, I mean, it's tough. But that's just the nature of the competition. And I guess what the Western Force have to deal with being so isolated over there in the West.
And you boys have done it and you did it well, I remember. All right. Hey, this one was a real barn burner. Quite the contest on Saturday night. The Blues defeated the Reds 41-34. It was tied up 34-all at the death right in the 80th minute, and then the Blues managed to get across. What a game of footy. Gits, did you catch that one on Saturday night?
I did. And you know who set up that last try?
I do, mate.
Do you know who it was, Prof?
Yeah, it was. Hang on, I've got it here.
Caleb Clark.
Sorry, who was it? Yeah, it's friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah.
Caleb Clark.
Yeah.
I mean, this game was... I thought the Reds had it in the bag. They were up by, was it 12 points at one point with maybe only 10 to go? And then the Blues have just gone bang, bang, one off a turnover. I mean, just the game was unbelievable. I think it was like finals football. Both teams are obviously going to be in the finals. And this is the type of spectacle I think we can expect once we hit the finals.
What a year for uncovering new wingers. Mm. Tim Ryan.
Wow. Yeah.
Goodness me. That was it his third try where he leapt over someone and then stepped off
turned
his right foot?
Talia turned, out inside out. The junkyard dog.
Might have been the second. Was that the second try?
Second try, maybe.
Yeah.
But do you know, Prof, ever since last week, you know, we talk about we've all had our turn at mocking someone.
Mm.
You were talking about our percentage against New Zealand teams going through the roof.
I know. And then
are
what?
We going to talk about this or we just let it go?
No, go for it. So was it four out of five we lost?
Yeah, I think it was.
But, hey, we beat the Hurricanes, which is why I bumped that up at the start. So last week I obviously said 43.5% was our win rate, which I just tossed up. I didn't do the math. Some nerd on YouTube said, ah, it's 46.3.
Yeah.
Why doesn't that same nerd now work out what we are? Still, hopefully, whoever you are, still hopefully above 40. Yeah, really put the mockers on. Hey, Hoskins Satutu.
Yeah.
Is he the number eight? Is he going to replace Ardy Savia in that All Blacks lineup?
I don't think he'll replace Ardy. I think they'll find a spot for Ardy. Because I think he comes back.
Does he come back?
I think he comes back after the Japanese season.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, he's in form. And he's sort of been there or thereabouts in that All-Black squad for the last couple of years. But it feels like he's really gone to sort of another level. And it's almost like he's asking, like, find a way to not pick me. You know, like, he's just playing so well. And you've got to go. And with Scott Robertson coming in, you would imagine it's a bit of a clean slate. He'll pick players on form, I would imagine. And also that suit the type of game that he wants to play. I'm sure Hoskins has got to be in there.
Great crowd up there at Suncorp. 17,000 came in.
Yeah.
And they're a good side. I think, well, actually, my Super Sizzler is another. It's a Reds player again. I won't reveal it.
Okay.
I won't reveal it. Actually, should we do it now?
Well, do we have time?
Do we have time for the Superb Sizzler? Tommy's saying we've got 10 minutes till Noah joins us. Hey, let's do this right now.
Super Sizzler, brought to you by Beef Eater. Life tastes better outdoors.
Yes, the Superb Sizzler brought to you by Beef Eater. Another big thanks to Beef Eater. You can see the wonderful barbecue over there where we cook sausages on a weekly basis in the fridge, which keeps our beer that we won't mention cold each week. It's a big thanks to Appliances Online, who they've provided our set also, but they've also lined us up with Beef Eater. Good on them. Hey, who wants to jump in first for the Super Sizzler here? Do you want to swoop? Do you want to do it?
So come in and steal Drewy's sizzler?
We know what Drewy's is. Do you want to steal it or not?
No, I won't.
No, okay. Well, you go first.
I'm not a prick. my sizzler is going to the women's, New South Wales Waratah women's, for getting the W up there at Ballymore on yesterday against the Fijian draw women's team. They won, which is
they did 50-14. They dominated. Them,
yeah. They dominated really well. I mean, it was a bit of a tight start, and I think Drill came within 4 points potentially, but then the Drill saw some cheese and back to back cheese,
yeah.
And then the girls were good enough to maintain, you know, build a lot of momentum and go back to back and try.
Cheese is bad, but back to back cheese.
A lot of back to back.
That's tough.
Yeah. Also, but double cheese for their 10, sorry. Which was cheese red.
Yeah. So what's if yellow's cheese? What's red?
Yeah, sliced tomato.
Salami? No, let's go tomato. Yeah, you're right.
Good. None of it makes sense, but...
Desiree Miller. Another finals hat-trick.
Hat-trick, Maya Stewart. Maya Stewart, double on the other edge.
They've got a great Hulse back three. Caitlin Hulse, Maya Stewart, and Desiree Miller.
But I thought my standout was G. Fred.
Yeah, she was good.
Regina Fredericks, 13. She bagged one for herself and then also set a lot up. So her assist game was... incredible on the weekend.
Natasi Lafayette, the player of the game. They just had standout players right across the park. So I really hope that they celebrated deep into the night. And
yeah,
go the girls.
Hey, are you going to pick one person for a Beef Eater, or are you sending it to each member of the squad?
How many Beef Eaters have we got?
We've got loads.
Send out however many we've sent.
Really?
How many? Yeah. How many do you want to send? You get to decide. Also, coaching staff, if you like.
Sure.
What?
Let's go the whole squad.
Whole squad.
The whole tour squad that got on the plane.
Tommy, can you find out how many Beef Eaters we need to send to Waratahs?
You can ask me.
Have they got a Beef Eater?
No. None of them have got Beef Eaters.
Swoop!
Yeah.
Fantastic. Great news. Who would like to go next? Goit or Biv?
Yeah, I'll go.
I'd love to.
Yeah, thanks, Goit. I'm going the Junkyard Dog. Look, he just was... immense on the weekend. It's just three tries on the edge, you know, quite long range try as well. Often you know you get a hat trick, you might get a little cheapy in there, but he's had to work hard for each and every one of those and show his pace. And you know, he went to a school called St Patrick's College Shorncliffe, which apparently they have a pretty pretty decent line of wingers.
Who else
Super
went there,
Rugby
mate?
Stage internationals and Jesse Mogg was
he was very
one.
Good.
I was the other. he's an old, St Pat's old boy as well, so good to see him doing good things on the Super Rugby stage. But I think we'll see a little bit more of him. We talk about all these young wingers coming through. We've got the Tool Shed, the
Bomber,
the Lancaster Bomber. Now we've got the Junkyard Dog.
Did you want to put the Junkyard
Dog in
there?
No, it's too early to put the Junkyard Dog in there.
Wallabies 15?
Can't feed him after one game.
Okay.
Yeah, the Junkyard Dog's got to go looking for a bit more meat before he gets onto that board, but he's doing well.
good nickname, as we discussed.
Yeah.
Junkyard Dog, which did we find out?
What's the nickname? I missed all this.
The Junkyard Dog gets.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I heard that, but how did he get that nickname?
He grew up in a junkyard.
really?
Yeah, and for the first 10 years of his life, he thought he was a dog. So,
I think he was just pretty slender when he was growing up. Like you'd see maybe the underfed dogs
you'd
at a junkyard.
Oh, his ribs.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
great nickname.
You'd see his ribs.
Kids. Who's your superb sizzler, mate? Who you got?
I've gone with Tamati Tua, number 12 for the Brumbies. Could have picked any number of the Brumbies players. I thought they were pretty dominant. But, yeah, he carried well, scored a nice individual try, was a really good link man. He was really physical. I think he's probably flying under the radar, but he's a good player. He's been doing a lot of good things for the Brumbies. So this week, I'm going with Tamati.
Very good. And my superb sizzler is Hunter Paisami.
I was going to actually bring him up. Yeah,
two in a row. So listen to this. 8 solid carries. That chip and chase. Oh.
Yeah, for the junkyard dogs.
Junkyard
try,
to go through. Electric. 5 tackle busts. He's very, very... If he wasn't up there, I would put him up there again. Can we do an asterisk or something?
Or just, yeah. Paisami.
Paisami, Hunter Paisami. Oh, I didn't ask either of you guys about... Do you know if the Junkyard Dog has a beef eater?
You know what? He does, because he's a friend of the show. He's a follower and subscriber and liker of the show. Oh. And so he went out and bought a beef eater, but he said he'd love one for the family.
Oh, good. So, all right, we'll send him one. And then, who was it? Sorry, at the Brumbies that you picked, kids?
Tamati Tua. He also has a barbecue, but he's got a big crew coming over from New Zealand, I believe. There's 12 of them, and they don't have any.
Okay, so 12 to them. Okay, this is fantastic. Beef eaters, they're going to love that we're just sending beef eaters ever. It's a great initiative from them. It's really fantastic. That was it. That was a superb sizzler brought to you by Beef Eater. Very good. Hey, let me skip ahead. Next was the Super W final, which you covered beautifully. We are about to do the Northern Hemisphere Legends, but I think we should put that on hold. You know what we could do is start talking about the Brumbies game.
Yeah.
And then bring Noah in. Does everybody think that's a good idea, Gits?
Great idea.
Okay, right. So let's go back to that result, because it is the biggest result of the weekend. And it's really good for Australian rugby. Let me give you the score here. 27 to the Brumbies, defeated the Hurricanes 19. And let's be honest, Noah was the standout. Gits. Yeah. Do you play the game of his life? Did you enjoy it?
He played very well, scored the first try, playing with a lot of confidence. I think at the start of the year, after the first couple of games, I think he's the stint that he had in Toulon taught him a lot. But also, I think, refreshed him to get away from Australian rugby. And he's just playing with a lot of confidence. Obviously, Stephen Larkin, showing that he's the 10. He's not playing for his position each week, which potentially he was doing, you know, at times for the Wallabies last year. So he just feels comfortable, and he can play his natural game. He looks happy. Yeah, I thought he played really well. However, Prof, I did give my beef eater to Tamati, so you can't say that he was lengths above everyone else.
Oh, okay. All right, sorry about that. You can give one to Noah if you want as well. He's about to come on. Actually, we shouldn't say that to Noah, because he might hold us to it, because obviously the whole giving barbecues to people is just a load of bullshit, right?
No, we are sending them.
Oh, we are sending them?
Yeah. No, right. The people at Beef Eater emailed me earlier on today.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, asking for all the addresses.
Oh, God. God, they're good. Hey, would that have rattled the Hurricanes?
I mean, I think they'd be disappointed, but I think they'd also understand that they played, a decent side in the Brumbies. And I think every time you're going up, or you're going to Canberra, going up against the Brumbies, you know that you're going to be in for a tough game. And like I said, they wouldn't be happy with the result. But like anything, you're going to go away, and there's things to work on. But I just thought the Brumbies put a good amount of pressure on the Hurricanes for sustained periods, and I think that's the difference. You can always put teams under pressure for periods. But if you can sort of have prolonged, sustained periods, that's when they start making decisions under that pressure or giving penalties away, not because of ill discipline, but because they're under pressure. And I thought the Brumbies did that really well.
Swoop, you're a coach. You coached in the MLR.
Not a very good one.
No, mate, I'm sure you were great. I've got here their game management was very good. They field position. Obviously, they jumped out to a lead 24-5, but then managed to defend it for majority of the game.
Well, yeah, they had to defend
a lot in that second half because I think 24 points were scored in the first and only three by the Brumbies in the second. So obviously on the defense a lot. But yeah, you're right. They made some really good decisions around the park. They exited really well. Also, their speed of play was outstanding. So they were getting some, I guess, technically and physically right at the breakdown and providing some really quick ball for Lonigan. And they were using the ball really well. Like the sleight of hands was class, getting it to the edges and allowing the wingers to open up in space. I thought Lenny did a really good job of providing that ball to the edge as well.
Oh, now you're on Lenny, are you?
Big time on Lenny.
Yeah.
Back on Lenny. I'm always on the Brumps.
Well, you're on
Lived down there for 8 years.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm not saying his name up there.
Yeah, he could be back. He could be back. Yeah. Nah, but no.
You know who else is playing well for him? Is Ollie Sapsford. Played on the wing. But he's just a guy that will just do a job for Stephen Larkham and the Brumbies. He's played at 12. He's played at 13. He's played on the wing. And just impresses him whichever role he plays. So he's a good one of those good players to have when you're either injuries or form or whatever it might be. Every time he's been asked, he's done a job.
Well, they are absolutely flying, the Brumbies, and their star fly half, I believe, is on the line now, according to Hugo. Noah can probably hear us. You're listening, Noah? Just give me a thumbs up. Yep, there we go. Thumbs up. He is there. Now, how it works, Noah, is obviously everybody knows. Tommy writes an intro, sometimes scathing, sometimes not. I think he's a bit of a fan of yours, so this one might be okay today.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest this week on the Coco Show is a young buck that some say is the future of Australian rugby, and much like his biblical namesake, this fella's career arc has fans from all across the world of different shapes and sizes marching two by two to watch him play. After making his name at the Southport School on the Goldie, this bloke has played at the highest level for club and country while taking a few knocks along the way. He has described himself as a bit of a hothead, but we think he has a pretty decent body as well. Tommy.
That's terrible.
Tommy is a fan.
After taking up a joker deal to join Toulon briefly in France, he has returned full of foie gras, red French reds, and a fuckload of foodie IQ. What is that sentence? Footy IQ. You've written foodie. So please put your hands together for the number 10 that is Australia's answer to Ken. He is the Brumby Bay that we think is Slay. He is the wallaby with an axe to grind and only has one unlucky beaver in mind. It is, of course, the one and only Mr. Noah Lolasio. Noah.
Hey,
Noah.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. A bit of a carry-on intro there, but it's good to be here.
Do you think Tommy likes him or not? What did you get from that intro?
I think you'd have to be careful there.
It was mixed. If
Tommy might be your little baby reindeer. I don't know if you've seen that show on Netflix, but just be careful. Keep looking out for your look out the window, and mate, you might see Tommy Erskine.
Well, you won't be bringing Noah into the studio, I think. All right, hey, Noah, congrats on the win. Let's start there. Massive one against the Hurricanes. You guys must be absolutely pumped down there.
Yeah, obviously it was a bit embarrassing the week before, losing at Eden Park against the Blues. So, you know, we quickly moved on and wanted to bounce back. We did. Obviously, it was good to have Alan and Lenny and Roy Scott back as well. Had a bit of a grunt in the forward pack and a bit of flair in our back line, which we needed. So, yeah, obviously Hurricanes are a really classy opponent as well. So, it was good to get that win.
Mate, you just mentioned there the performance last week against the Blues in Eden Park and then going into the game against the Hurricanes. Just tell us what Stephen Larkham was like in that week and what sort of messaging he was giving. Did he give you guys a spray after the Blues game? How did he get you guys prepared for that Hurricanes match?
We actually kind of moved on pretty quickly. We travelled back to Canberra on the Sunday and we actually had Monday off, surprisingly. So it was good to get away from footy for a bit. Then on Tuesday morning, it was a real honest review. Forwards and backs, we just, you know, lacked. It was probably more of an attitude thing, to be honest, of everything between the ears, in the ears there. So, we just quickly acknowledged it that, you know, that's not how we play and that's not what we represent. And, just looked forward onto the Hurricanes.
Gits, you got one? I think we're having that same trouble with Gits with his Wi-Fi. Gits, can you hear us?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What should his hands will go up?
Cause I'm fucking going here, mate.
So what Gitz was trying to ask was the honesty review, whether you called anybody out, how honest you were.
Yeah. Nah, it's not so much calling anyone out. It's more just looking at yourselves individually. So I know myself, my performance, I definitely was not happy and proud of that. Yeah, again, it's just the thing with professional rugby and professional sport in general, you get to move on pretty quickly and bounce back the next weekend. So, yeah, it was more just an honest review with yourself more than anything.
Noah, I mean, there are a lot of performances you should be proud of, particularly this year. Off the back of coming home from France with your Joker stint over there towards the end of last year during World Cup, is there anything that's changed from you, or is there, I guess, a learning or a takeaway that you brought back from France that has influenced your performances this year with the Brumbies?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I saw you boys over there in Toulon with my time there. Pretty pissed, I think, with those wines. But, yeah, definitely. Just learn to, honestly, like, just get away from footy when you can. I mean, like, obviously, when they're in HQ and stuff, they take footy really serious. But when they get away, they really get away. And that's probably the one thing I learned the most, was just really enjoy it while you can. So I've sort of just taken that approach into Brums, loosened myself up a bit and just not take footy as serious, you know, because I feel like, you know, when I'm enjoying footy, that's when I'm playing my best. So that's probably the one thing I've taken.
Mate, what about also from your position as a number 10 steering the team around, the different style of play that they play up there in the Northern Hemisphere in the top 14? Did you sort of take anything away in terms of the game management or any of the mindset or approach that the French have?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, they're very kick-heavy up there in top 14, so just different tactics on how to control the game with ball on foot and sort of just adding that, you know, attacking finesse onto it as well. So, I mean, I had some great coaching staff when I was in Toulon with Andrea Massi. You know, I learned heaps off him as an attack coach and trying to bring some of that over from Toulon back to the Brumbies. And, you know, I felt like our attack's been pretty good so far this season. And just looking to, you know, sharpen up on the attack as a whole.
Now, I don't know whether Gitz can hear us, but I wanted to ask you, we know that you've had a few chats to Matt Giddo, recently. Has he been helping you out with how to be a Brumbies number 10?
Yeah, well, he actually, I think the first time I had a chat to Gitz was, I think, when COVID hit in 2020. That's where the whole Super Rugby competition shut down for like 8 weeks or something like that. And I just left Canberra, but he reached out and messaged me, wanted to go for a kicking session or something. But yeah, obviously, it's, you know, the 10 jersey for the Brumbies is a very special one. Obviously you've seen all the big players, legends come through that 10 jersey with obviously Bernie, Gitz, Pop, Bruzzy, and you know, it's something that I definitely don't take for granted. So just trying to do my best in that 10 jersey for however long I play for.
And mate, just talk about you know, where the Brumbies are at now. Obviously, a big win over the previously undefeated Hurricanes. But moving forward, you know, positioning yourselves for a run into the finals. Like, how do you guys feel you're at?
Yeah, as I said before, we're obviously very happy with the result against the Canes. But we know we're still nowhere near where we want to be. And Bernie's been pushing that really hard, which is good. So he's been sort of telling us, you know, we have a long-term goal in mind, but we have short-term goals to keep improving each week as well. So he's been pushing that, and the players have been pushing that as well. So we know we still got to be better every week and still take it game by game, because, you know, Fiji draw on their day, they can beat anyone in the competition. So that's our main focus at the moment.
Speaking of focuses, Noah, if you have to wear one of your past Halloween outfits for the rest of your life, which one are you picking?
Oh, I actually don't really celebrate Halloween, so I think I'm good there.
Have you got one, Swoop, that you would wear for the rest of your life?
I reckon, yeah, Johnny Depp, the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, the Mad Hatter, you were good at that. Yeah, you got a photo. We'll put the photo up.
We'll put the photo up
now. Very good. Hey, let's talk some Wallabies for a second. We believe that you guys are going to Schmidt it in this year. Pretty excited that Joe Schmidt's in charge for Australia now, Noah?
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a, you know, very honest and straightforward coach, which is nice. I've had probably one or two chats with him so far. And yeah, he just seems like he's, you know, he's very, well, he hasn't really been involved in any of the Super Rugby clubs, Australian Super Rugby clubs. He's sort of just come to training and not really said much. So from what I've heard, he's a really good coach. He's really detailed and he's very hard on the boys. So hopefully with my performance through the Brumbies, can get that opportunity again.
But did you keep a bit of an eye on the other 10s, the Carter Gordons, Liners, Benny Donaldson, Edmund, the guys that you're going up against for a position in the Wallabies? Do you keep an eye on their form and rate them out of 10?
No, not really, to be honest. As I said before, I like to get away from footy when I can. But, I mean, obviously, all the 10s in Australia, obviously Carter, Dono, Tom, even Tane, they're all playing really good footy. So, I mean, yeah, it's a good wave of 10s coming through now in Australia. I feel like we're all playing pretty consistent at the moment, so I think it's just up to Joe at the end of the day who he wants.
The reason I ask is, remember last year there was a bit of talk going into the game of the Brumbies versus the Rebels down in Melbourne, talking up Carter Gordon, his position moving forward, and you absolutely had a blinder, scored the try, slammed it down, had a few words to say. Which I thought was great. Like, it shows, you know, like it means something to you. There's a bit of passion, but sometimes also you hear a bit of the outside noise, and I guess, you know, for me, it's not so much about proving other people wrong, it's about proving yourself right, and that's kind of what that moment sort of showed for me last year when I saw you do that. So it has to be nice sometimes when you have a good performance up against one of those Aussie 10s.
Yeah, probably got caught a bit too emotional last year, to be honest. You know, obviously I carried on after I scored that try to Carter. It's carry on, man. That's not me. But again, last year was probably pretty rough year footy-wise for me before I went to Toulon. So again, like, just, obviously Carter's a great player as well. He's got an unbelievable pass on him, good flair, kicks well. So, I don't really keep track on, you know, other 10s in regards to how they're performing and stuff, but obviously you try and hear all the noise around you. So.
Sounds like he'd make a great backup 10 is what Noah's saying.
Carter Gordon's got
all the right assets. Hey, the Brumbies, does anybody ever talk about Swoop's exit there and what went wrong? Because we're trying to get the story on this podcast. Swoop really dislikes the Brumbies and we just can't work out why. Have you heard anything?
No, I don't know, but he went to the Tars after. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there.
Eight incredible years down in the nation's capital, and it was probably the best thing at my football at the time. No distractions, no holidays. But I had this bloke. I had this bloke in my ear for the last couple of years down there in my contract,
and
he just got the better of me. He said, "Mate, you know you're due to come home. There's a good amount of cash waiting for you at the Waratahs. Come and join me. We'll live in a mansion in South Coogee together."
We did with Rocky Olsen.
That's another story, but, mate, Drew got the better of me, and then I thought that it was due, you know.
And the rest is history. 2014, boom, boom.
What, Civic wasn't good enough for you?
Civic. No, I guess Mooseheads and that other bar deep down in City Central, I had enough. I got blacklisted.
Talk to us about some of the players that we maybe not know too much about. This Charlie Cale, he seems to be going really well off the back of the scrum for you boys.
Yeah, he's freakish athletically, eh? Like, he's quicker than all of us backs. He's very skillful. Obviously, you've seen snippets of him this year in open space. So he's definitely one that, one that's really impressed me this season. And I think also he doesn't really get much rap. I think he's probably getting a bit acknowledged now as our inside center, Tams.
Yeah.
He has been unreal for us. Like, he just does all the groundwork, gets us on the front foot. His work rate's incredible. And, he's probably been our most consistent back so far this season. So, I feel like he needs to... He deserves a bit more credit than what he gets.
Well, Gitz actually just gave him his Super Sizzler, his player of the Super Round as well this weekend. So it's been recognised, which is great. But also, what about Alan Alatoa? We saw, obviously he's ruptured his Achilles in Melbourne last year before the World Cup. It was so good to see him back out there. How's he been throughout his injury, but then the impact that he's had coming back into the team?
Oh, yeah, he's been awesome. You definitely noticed straight away when he was back in the team. It was weird because throughout the week, like, he was sort of just keeping it to himself a bit. I was like, oh, yeah, he might just stick into it. And then before the game, when we were in our huddle, he just went off and, just got all the boys G'd up. And then on the field, he's just the workhorse, eh? He loves the grind of it all. He was a bit tired at times. a few hands on hips and bending over, but he got through a solid half there. So, it's awesome to have Big Al back.
Hey, Noah, we know that Gitz is struggling with a bit of service in San Diego, but he sent through a WhatsApp message. He wants to know, if you're stranded on an island, who would you pick to be with you? Three people max, can't be your missus, can't be any family, and it can't be Bernie. Who are you picking?
Three people. So I'll probably just keep it within the Browns boys. So one, I'll probably go Jerome Brown.
Nice.
He's a hunter. He'll probably get some food for me. A smart dude that not many people know is actually Cade Neville.
Oh.
He is the guy that knows anything about everything. So he'll be my second, and then
gotta go someone big that you can eat if they die.
Yeah, I was just about to say Al, just in case things go to shit, and I need some food. So.
Nice little bit of Wagyu, nine grade marbling.
Beautiful. Now I was going to go to the quiz with Noah. We've written up a special Brumbies quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Are you happy to get there? Is there anything else you wanted to ask Noah before we move on?
No,
let's get into the quiz. Yeah, let's get into the quiz. Today's subject is the Brumbies. Unfortunately, Gitz can't hear us, which is a shame.
So we're going head to head.
You got, well, why don't we get Noah to play as well?
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, the three of you. And then Tommy, if you can keep score. And then if you get the win, Noah, fantastic. We might send you a beef eater.
Yeah, right, okay.
Gitz is giving us a thumbs up, which I'm not sure. He's just listening, poor old Gitz. But we'll get him back, I think, after Noah. We should be able to get Gitz back. All right, here we go. Question number one. What percentage of Brumbies players have played for the Wallabies? Is it A, 20, this is of all time, wow, Brumbies players. A, 29%, B, 50%, C, 37%, or D, according to Gitz, it should be 100%. Who wants to go first? Noah?
What was D again?
C was 37%, B was 50%, yeah. A was 29%.
Yeah. I'll go C.
I'm C too, 37.
I'll go A.
A. B, 50%.
Really?
Wow.
Isn't that an amazing? 50% of all right. Brumbies. There you go. No one was right. Bum, bum. Question number two.
That's big numbers.
I know. What would it be for the Waratahs? We'll look that up. Question number two. Canberra is the only city in the world where you can do what? A, skydive over the House of Parliament. B, attend school barefoot. C, visit the only other officially sanctioned NASA space base, or D, marry your livestock? Biff?
Skydive over Parliament House.
Hey, sweep.
I'm going NASA.
NASA? Noah?
Yeah, I was going to go skydive too.
A ding, ding, ding. A.
Yeah.
Skydive.
There you go.
1-1 donut. Okay,
you
question
know,
number.
Because it's weird. Across the Lake Burley Griffin in Civic there, like you can't have a building higher than the point of the Parliament House.
Is that the rules?
Because they want that to be the pinnacle, the focal point. So weird that they'd.
Yeah, and now there's a beach on Lake Burley Griffin.
Is there?
Do you ever go swimming in Lake Burley Griffin, Noah?
No, I don't think you're allowed to.
There you go. That's
makes sense having a beach.
Yeah. So there's a beach where you can sit and look at the water. That's fantastic. Question number three. First presented in 2001, World Rugby Men's 15s Player of the Year Award, which I believe you now are.
I'm a judge.
You're a judge now. Yes. Yeah. Congratulations.
Or a panel member or panel, something. Yeah. I don't know.
Is the biggest individual gong in rugby. How many Brumbies have been nominated for the award? 5, 4, 2 or D, according to Gits, a Brumby should win it every year. That's good. That's good stuff, Tommy. 5, 4 or 2? A, B or C? Let's go. You swoop first.
2.
2. Noah?
4.
4?
Yeah, I was going to say 4.
4. Boom, boom. All three of you. Five of them.
Yeah.
Michael, can you name them?
Well, there'd be George Gregan, George Smith, Bernie Larkham.
No.
Yep. Oh.
Nope.
Oh, really?
Jeremy Paul?
No. There's a bloke that...
Moore?
No, there's a guy that's on our show.
Oh, Gitz? Yeah, of course.
There you go.
Yeah. Pocock?
Pocock, Senator Pocock, and one other.
That's a 5. I thought you said that's the 5.
Michael Hooper.
Oh, Michael Hooper, yeah.
A ding, ding, ding. That's still 1-1-0. Question number 4. In 1996, when the Brumbies were brought into Super Rugby, what other name was in contention for the ACT franchise? Was it A, the Capitals, B, the Shearers, C, the Horsies, or D, the Roundabouts?
There are a lot of roundabouts in Canberra.
There is a lot. Noah, A, B, C, or D?
Go Shearers.
Shearers?
I'm going to go Capitals.
Capitals?
Capitals.
Capitals. A ding, ding, ding. Noah, it was the Shearers.
Really?
Wow.
The ACT Shearers.
I know there's a netball team. Is it the netball? Canberra Capitals?
Yes.
Basketball.
WNBL. Basketball.
Yeah,
no,
right.
That's basketball.
Yeah, okay, yeah, right.
That would have been good, the ACT Shearers.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a shame. Question number 5. Brumbies, by definition, are feral horses. In the ACT area, which feral species is most abundant? Is it A, feral cats, B, feral dogs, C, feral horses, or D, feral children? It's a shame Gitz isn't on for this one. He might be able to answer that for us. Biff, your turn.
I'm going
to
go cats.
Cats? Swoop?
Dogs.
Dogs. Noah?
Yeah, cats.
A ding, 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 dogs.
Yes.
Got feral one dogs. Right. Feral one dogs, right. Which means...
I don't think I've ever seen a feral dog in Canberra.
Is that... Well, according to here, there's approximately 10,000 feral dogs.
Yeah, plenty of dogs.
Dirty dogs. Junkyard dogs, I think, down there. There you go. Hey, Noah, congratulations. You just won the Brumbies quiz. It's all coming up, Noah.
Winning everything.
Absolutely. Hey, good luck against the Drua next week. And good luck for the rest of the season. Anybody want to say anything else to Noah?
No, just, mate, thanks very much for giving us your time. And go well.
Go well, Noah. Good luck, mate.
Yeah, sweet, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is. Noah Lolasea. What a season he's having.
Yeah.
He is in our Wallabies halfway 15. And I think it's warranted, I think you'd say.
Well, I mean, he's playing some good footy. He's behind a good pack. He's steering them around. We spoke about it earlier, the game management stuff. He's in some good form.
Matt Giddo has rejoined us. He's now on his phone. So if you're thinking, geez, that audio is not as good. We're just having a few technical issues.
Yeah, sorry about that. Alex Corbacero mustn't be paying his bill. Something's up. I don't know what's happening. I apologise.
Did you enjoy that interview? I mean, you know Noah the best, really.
Yeah, I liked the interview, but I didn't like that I could add, you know. Like, even when he was picking Brumbies players, like, seems like he took the soft option. I would have liked to see who he'd get outside of that if he wanted a dancer or a singer or something, you know. Like,
I missed your little, what are they? Clio questions.
The Cosmo. Yeah, the Cosmo.
Cosmo. Yeah. Clio, Cosmo.
Yeah, the rugby stuff, you can take it or leave it. I couldn't care less.
well, we'll get that sorted for next week, Gitz. We'll make sure when we're... on the Zoom. We'll fix it. Don't worry. I mean, Hugo's, he's one of the best in the business, mate. He's working on it right now. Look at him over there. He's working tireless. Yeah. I think he's actually playing Candy Crush on his phone. Anyway, hey, let's do our other favourite segment. It's time for... That's right. Northern Hemisphere legends, the NHLs. We love watching the rugby up there. Jeez, there was some good rugby up there on the weekend. Wasn't there, guys?
Great rugby.
Isn't there great rugby up there on the weekend, Gits?
Mate, beautiful. The weather's not so good, but just all of it was great.
So we've each picked a moment or something from the weekend for the NHLs. Let's start with you there, Druza, friend of the pod.
Well, friend of the pod, Denny Kerr. We had him on last week. Bit of controversy after being on the Coco show. He saw some cheese and some thought he probably should have seen two slices of cheese and a tomato. I don't know how this happened. Denny Kerr would have to be one of the smallest players in world rugby, and he got done for a high shot on Courtney Laws, who's one of the tallest.
Wow.
So I don't know how that happened, physics and all that sort of stuff, but he got first yellow. And then later in the game, was involved in a bit of an incident with John Ram, a bit of a push or something off the ball. A lot of people thought that maybe it should have been a yellow. It wasn't. It was just a penalty. Obviously, two yellows would have meant a red. Obviously, people are linking. As a former teammate, was a referee. Maybe that had something to play with it, questioning the referee's integrity. You don't do that. That's shame on you for all you Twitter
So you're wankers. Not questioning it?
No, I'm not. I just thought, why is my NHL of the week is just his little wry smile as he went. He got subbed off straight after.
Yeah.
His little wry smile, almost as if he knew he got away with something. Even if he didn't, who knows? But I just like that little bit of cheekiness coming out of the halfback.
Well, and his replacement.
Do you reckon we had something to do with that? Maybe we fired him up too much with a good interview.
I think so. I think we pumped him up.
Well, what we've realised is it's tailored to sports. Sorry, like as in it goes either way. So Caleb Clark, friend of the pod, plays a house down. Danny Kerr, no good. Whereas the week before it was Slipper and Caleb Clark again.
Mm.
Shit example, prof. All right, move on.
Made sense.
Yeah, thank you, mate.
Welcome.
So anyway,
here's my NHL.
Harlequins, they defeated Northampton.
Yep.
Yes, 41-32. Congratulations to the Quins. Goit, your NHL. Mm. Are you going to cover what's happening there at San Diego?
Yes. So NHL would be, you know, the actual stadiums, they're full. Seems like the rugby's great. But what I'm talking about is the MLR. So I'm here to talk about the Legion. Unfortunately, on the weekend, we went down 33-0.
Shutout.
Yeah, shutout.
Yucky.
First time ever that we've had that. So there were howling winds, apparently. That's what the kickers are telling me anyway. No, I just think it's just one of those games. Obviously, looking at it, there are a lot of mistakes that we made, more our own mistakes. They're very fixable. So expect a big turnaround this weekend.
Is that why you've gone over early? Because you've got your first ever shutout and they're like, oh, shit, we need the saviour. Get him over here.
No, I actually timed it well because after this game, we've got a bye and it falls on Cinco de Mayo. You know, that one's for...
Jeez. So, yeah, Swoop's already organising to celebrate Cinco de Mayo over here.
Do you do it here, Swoop? Do you get you and all your Spanish friends together and do a bit of...
Oh, mate, all the time.
Cinco de Mayo.
Move around a little bit. But I want to know whether or not it's perfect timing because you're playing this weekend.
He just said they've got a bye.
No.
No, it's...
No. So we play early
and then it's a bye.
Cinco de Mayo, and then we've got a bye. So we've got the Cinco de Mayo celebrations... after hopefully a win, and then the bye.
Because Cinco de Mayo, correct me if I'm wrong, is they celebrate the dead. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. That's
is that right?
All those the face paint, like the skulls and stuff.
And what do you do? Do you go to cemeteries? And do you have a party at the cemetery?
I think you just try and put yourself in a cemetery drinking tequila.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It doesn't have that Hong Kong flavour where you go to the cemetery.
Yeah, wasn't that
and
a funny
do
one?
The dusting of ashes.
Yeah.
Different celebration of the dead.
We'll celebrate it here. And why don't we celebrate it here on the show?
Well, why not?
Fantastic. All right, San Diego Legion. There you go. Sadly going down. Swoop, you're NHL, mate. Who you got?
Another friend of the pod. Bernard Foley. Yep, some absolute legendary behaviour up there in the Northern Hemisphere, but in Japan top league.
See, we're going all around the NHL.
He's bagged some meat too. Three bits of meat over the last four games and 17 points he scored over the weekend. I think they were down at the half and came back and put 60 points on the other mob. So Bernard clearly in some really good form up there, and there are, you know, a few few mentions around.
Ooh.
Should he be looked at in for a potential Wallaby squad selection?
Isn't it?
What's that?
Is that not Asia Pacific legend?
Well, it's still Northern Hemisphere. Yeah. It's above the equator.
Is it?
Certainly is.
Yep.
Just north of it.
Beautiful.
If you are Joe Schmidt, what are you doing with Bernard? Are you bringing him into camp? Are you? Because we talked about the lack of a senior 10. That was a big problem at the World Cup. Bernard's a perfect senior 10.
Yeah, he's got a lot of experience there. Absolutely. And he's a competitor too. I think, the Japan leg up there is a really good competition with some cracking talent and some cracking games of football. So I think Joe would certainly be, you know, casting a fair eye over that competition, particularly the Wallaby players up there playing. And I think it's worth the conversation. I'm not too sure exactly how it would pan out, but I think that Joe will be tracking and certainly hooking up a conversation with Bernard before the competition's out.
Well, I think it's you go, Goy.
Sorry. Maybe we were going to say the same thing, but when we had Joe on the pod, he was interested in just looking at the current players that are playing in Australia at the moment. They're his preference, his priority. And then if they don't fill a certain void that he's looking for, then he'll look elsewhere. But you look at the quality 10s. I mean, I heard the interview with Noah. Obviously, I couldn't add to it, but the quality young 10s we've got there with good experience, and they're playing with a lot of confidence. Under a coach like Joe Schmidt, you know, I'm a big advocate for Bernard Foley. I think he adds so much to a group, even if he's not starting, just around his game management, the way he approaches a game, the value he can add throughout training. But from what Joe was saying, I think the first cracks at it will probably be the younger kids now that are playing well in Super Rugby.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what I was going to allude to, because before they play Wales, they're only together for a week. So I think the squad against Wales and Georgia will largely be Australian-based players. I think there might be an opportunity after that, before the Rugby Championship, for some of the Northern Hemisphere legends, Wallabies playing abroad, to maybe just come in and have a look at, in say, an expanded 50-man squad, and then you might see a few of the Northern Hemisphere-based players come in, just so you can get a look at them, see what they're going to bring, whether they're going to add anything, and then make a decision whether one, two, or none are involved moving forward. So I think because we only have a short little lead up into the Welsh series, I'd be inclined to say that he's probably going to lean towards more Australian-based players, and maybe later in the year there might be an opportunity to have a look at some of the Northern Hemisphere legends.
I'd say we just take a photo of that whiteboard and we just send it to Joe, and that's probably what he'll go for.
Yeah.
I know he listens to the pod.
Definitely.
He loves it. He wears his shirt, he puts on his Schmidt it in.
Mm. Well, no, actually, his son always wears it.
His son does wear it. Yeah. I think just to piss his dad.
Yeah, probably.
It's a good move. Now, mine, I've just realised, I don't know whether I've gone for the right category here. You've got to judge this one. Munster defeated the Lions 33-13, so it's in the URC. It's the first Northern Hemisphere team this year to win in Johannesburg.
Right.
Is that technically
NHL? Yeah,
that's
an NHL.
Good stuff, Prof. Amazing game. Munster 33-13, and they just keep on flying.
Who was your man of the match there, Prof?
Crowley. Yep. Crowley, yeah, well, mate. Geez, he played the house down. Some of his passes, and
what was it?
Hey, a couple of kicks and his penalties. Goodness me.
he didn't watch a second.
No, also the game management gets. I was going to chat to you about this. Anyway, Go Munster. All right, hey, that was the Northern Hemisphere Legends. And, gents, I believe that was the show.
Yeah.
I think we're done there.
Well, Goy, just wanted...
No, are we on the show?
Yeah.
I packed this for a reason, didn't I?
Well, do you have a fireball?
Bloody oath, I packed it for a reason.
You know, just so you guys know, Fireball aren't tipping in any cash.
Well, not yet.
Not yet, but I tell you what, this sloppy Joe is already paying dividends. Took it down to Beach Road on Saturday night.
So my fire up.
Oh, we're starting this wrong.
We're doing a seg.
Okay, all right, yeah, go for it.
Well, my fireball fire up is the Wi-Fi and me not being allowed to interview guests on a double Zoom.
Yeah, fire up, Goy. Yeah.
Fire up.
Fire it up.
Wi-Fi. Great. Have you guys got a fireball fire up?
Yeah, I do. I've got a fireball fire up moment.
Do I go or do I wait?
I think you wait.
You can just wait. You can wait. Yeah. My fireball fire up moment was down at Beach Road on Saturday night, and I was wearing this little bad boy, and a couple of East rugby players actually who were down there drowning their sorrows because they got dumped by Randwick
in the Battle of the East.
In the Battle of the East, said, "Hey, love your jumper. I'll have a fireball swoop." So they bought me a fireball.
Fireballs with swoop.
But mate, free fireballs whenever you wear this jumper. How good?
That was Cotsy, a guy that I played with in Gungahlin.
That's right.
He said you were Polats.
Of course he did.
Did you have a fire up?
Yeah, I got a fire up. You know what fires me up? Is the last post.
Yeah.
You know, when they get up there and they play their last post on the bugle, I think, I don't know, the bugle, I'm not much of an instrumentalist, but I would say that that would have to be one of the toughest instruments to play. It doesn't appear to have anything to play any kind of keys or notes or whatever. Mm. It's all about the way that they breathe it. And I think it's probably the most moving song that there is. You know, when they play that, everyone's crowd's silent. I thought each of the Super Rugby games did a tremendous job to, you know, acknowledge the Anzacs. And, that really fired me up. Each time I was watching the pre-game, I was like, fucking get me on.
Love it. My fireball fire-up is Ollie. Fire up, mate. Come on.
Yeah. Get back to work.
Bloody hell. All right, hey, gents. Well, drink your fireball, I guess, for this brand new segment, Fireball Fire Up. If that doesn't get us some cash, I don't know what will. While you're drinking that, gents, I'm going to quickly remind people where they can find us. It is Kickoffs, Kick-Ons, and everywhere except for YouTube, where it is Kickoffs and Kick-Ons. Remember, like and subscribe. Tell your parents, tell your vets, tell whoever you talk to. Also, merch is available. Just remember, here's the link down here, www.budgiesmuggler.com/au. It's down there.
Giddy, I just wanted to ask, how tough was the goodbye to the fam?
Oh, yeah, it's horrible. Not good.
And who was it toughest to say goodbye to?
Oh, it'd be Bianca.
Oh, yeah?
Well, she knows. I do the lion's share. So she knows that when I'm gone, she's going to have to pick up the slack. No, the kids, we were at soccer. So I said bye to the kids. Said, I'll see ya. Said, I'm going for 8 weeks. They said, yeah, see ya. That was it. And then Bianca walked to the car, brought out a few tears out of her, and she's just like, you're the best. I'm going to miss you. I said, listen, I've got to go, darling.
Yeah.
I've got to go save the San Diego Legion.
What about Winter? Did she give you anything?
Did she give me anything?
Yeah, was she fine?
Was she fine?
Like, she was like, all right, see you, Dad, or?
Oh, no. No, she's a bit teary, as you would be.
How old's Winter gets? How old's Winter?
Winter's 3. Oh, no, she didn't cry at all. She didn't really, I don't think she really realised until she got home.
Yeah, right.
She might not get it yet. Yeah. Mm. Are they going to come over and see you play your last game over there,
Gets? They will.
Oh, that's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. So we'll get. I'm here for 8 weeks, and then they'll come over for 6, and then maybe extend it, potentially, with this crew if we're in the finals.
There we go.
That's the plan. That's what they're working on.
The Coco and the Giddo clan on the plane on the way over, running through the cocktail list.
Oh God, we're not doing that again. Jesus Christ, it derailed us before we even got to Hong Kong. We were Polacks.
It really
on the plane.
Set the tone, didn't it?
Oh my God. All right, that was the show. Good luck over there, Gits. We'll be watching. We'll chat to you next week. Good luck in your first game. Gents, good luck with life.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah, we need it. Yeah.
We need it.
Infinite struggle. All right, give us one.
Cuckoo! G'day. Please, if you like the show, well, show us you liked it by pressing like and subscribe so we can exist, because we don't have any more money. We need your support. And make sure you check out our other videos.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.